This morning, God changed my message. And I'm nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs right now. And so what I'm going to share today, thank you, Jay. What I'm going to share really is something that I came across actually while I was studying for a message I'm going to preach next Sunday at our church. And I hope that God challenges us. I know that you've been talking about breakthrough, and I want to share something today. And in fact, this morning I wrote it on my iPad. I didn't type it in. I just wrote it on my iPad, and I put some thoughts down as I was studying it. But I put this thought, and I guess you could call it a title, if you will. But it's called. I felt like God wanted me to call it breakthrough attitude. A breakthrough attitude. How many understands that our attitudes can either help us or break us? And so will you pray with me this morning and just ask God, because this moment is a God moment. We've already heard wonderful testimonies and stories, but I want God to speak to you. I want God to minister to you in an even special way. So let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to just look at your Word and be encouraged, to be changed, and even be challenged this morning. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people, people that we have fallen in love with. And Lord, there's a camaraderie. There's a spirit here today, Lord, that just resonates with us from the USA. Lord, our desire is to just have an attitude of you know what, if God is for us, who can be against us? Lord, I just thank you for this moment that I'm privileged and honored to be in this pulpit to share your Word and what you laid on my heart. So God, have your way today. Change us and challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Nehemiah. As I said this morning, I've been going back and forth, and actually I had a message prepared. I really, really felt like it was what God wanted me to share. At that moment, I had a PowerPoint. You know, we have to be clean and cut when we present the Word of God, and I believe that, and I believe we always need to be our best. But today, I don't have that. At home, we have handouts, and you fill in the blank. I don't have that. But I really feel like what God has laid on my heart is for this moment. So Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up, because Nehemiah is a great book. It's one of my most favorite books. Nehemiah shows us how to have the ear for the Lord. We can learn that. We can learn leadership principles out of the book of Nehemiah. We can learn that when there's opposition, that we can see that God is for us and that we can overcome that opposition. There's so much packed into this book of Nehemiah. And it's an encouraging book, because it's a book that we can relate to. Nehemiah, as you know, he was facing a daunting task. He was the cupbearer to the king. And he got word from one of his fellow brothers that the doors and the gates and the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down and burned. And he wept and he prayed for some time and mourned over the news that he had had. And as you know, he went to the king, and the king looked at him. He said, "Nehemiah, what's on your heart? Why are you sad? Why?" And he had been praying, and he shared the news with the king. And the king said, you know, and he said, "I want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to go back to rebuild the walls and repair the gates and prepare this city that's the city of my people." And the king gave him permission. And not only did the king give him permission, but the king gave him resources. And he wrote letters so that task could be resourced and financed. We read it through chapter 1 and chapter 2 that Nehemiah, he begins this task, this daunting task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And it's amazing, because in chapter 3, as I was studying and I was looking at this, I found in verse 15 and verse 16 two men that have two attitudes that I pray that God will give to us. These two verses are sandwiched into so much that really, I've read the book of Nehemiah I don't know how many times, and I've just read over them. How many have read the book, or you've heard about the prayer of Jabez? You know how it is. You're reading Bible and you're reading, and you get to the genealogies and you fall asleep. I mean, really, genealogies aren't really that exciting, right? Don't look at me that way. You've read through the genealogies and, "Oh Lord, help me." You know what I'm talking about. But sometimes we read something and it becomes so familiar to us that we just scan it. And this is basically what had taken place. But just a couple of weeks ago, as I was preparing and I was studying, I found these two men that have an attitude that I believe that God wants us to have. And so what's taken place so far is Nehemiah, he's gotten the resources. He's assigned people different parts of the wall and the gates to build. It would be like if there was a wall around this city and you lived in front of that section, he would say, okay, you take care of this section of the wall. You take care of this section of the wall. You take care of this section of the wall. You take care of this gate. And so it was really basically you take care of the part by where you lived. You wouldn't have to travel a long ways. They didn't have transportation like we have today. But basically, he was telling everyone, you do this part in front of you, and together we can do great things. And in chapter 3, it begins to list the different assignments and the different people. And in verse 15, this is how it reads, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, the fountain gate was repaired by Shalem, son of Kolhoza, the leader of Mizpah district. He rebuilt it, roofed it, set up its doors, and installed its bolts on the doors. There's two attitudes that this man has. Let me continue reading. Then he repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam. How many knows that Siloam Springs is in the Bible? It is. The pool of Siloam near the king's garden, and he rebuilt the wall as far as the stairs from that descend from the city of David. Now let's pause here because I want to stop. Shalom, he not only repairs the fountain gate, but he also takes it a step further and repairs the pool of Siloam. Was he asked to do that? I'm not really for sure, but really the pool of Siloam is there by the fountain gate, and he looks and he takes care of the first task. He takes care of the fountain gate. Now, it's not recorded, and we're not really told that Nehemiah asked Shalem, hey, I want you to take care of the fountain gate and this part of the wall. Oh, by the way, take care of the pool of Siloam and repair it. We're not told that. But this is what is going in my spirit and in my mind. That while he was repairing the fountain gate and he was repairing that part of the wall, he looked over and said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take care of the wall of the pool of Siloam while I'm at it. Have you ever painted part of the wall and you're going to touch up just a little bit of the wall and you step back and you look and say, you know what? I need to take care of everything else as well. I believe that Shalem, he repaired the fountain gate and he took care of the fountain gate. And he said, well, now that that's done, I can't leave the wall of the pool broken down as well. And it says, then, after he took care of the fountain gate, then he repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam near the king's garden. Now, I want to look at that attitude of then some. I want to do what God called me to do, and then some. I want us to have the attitude of God, you have called us to not just reach this city, but I want to go and then some. You've called us to reach the world. You see, liberty is not just reaching the city. Liberty is reaching Clondalkin. Liberty is reaching Finglas. Liberty is reaching Bray. But it goes even beyond those areas. Liberty is reaching Belarus. Liberty is reaching Siloam Springs, because in 2 weeks, I'm telling you, people will hear the word of God and they will be challenged by the word that your pastor brings. So we could sit back and say, no, we're doing what we've been called to do. We're reaching the city. But what we want is we want to be challenged. That breakthrough attitude, we want that and then some attitude. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to have second best. I don't want to give God my leftovers. I don't want to give him my second best. I want him to look at me and say, you know what, Gary, I want you to do this. I said, I'll do that and then some. I don't want to stop. I want to do even more. And this is the attitude of Shalem. Now, it's interesting because he rebuilt the fountain gate. He roofed it and put the doors on it. But then he went a step further and he took care of the pool of Siloam. Now, this is where it hit me. The pool of Siloam. He repaired the fountain gate and repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam near the king's garden. Now, once again, I don't know if it was in his job description. It wasn't part of the wall that's going to be repaired, but Shalem went above and beyond. But there's something that took place. In fact, we read in John chapter 9 a story of a blind man. John chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus is going along and it says that he saw a blind man from birth. This man was blind from birth. And his disciples ask him this question, who sinned, this man or did his parents sin? And Jesus says, nobody sinned. Now catch this. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And he says, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when there's no one can work. While I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, put it in the man's eyes. Verse 7, this is the key. Go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. Shalem was preparing and repairing the pool that hundreds of years later would bring glory to God. He didn't know it when he was repairing it. He didn't have the foresight. He didn't have the God didn't tell him, so you need to build this pool because later I'm going to have my son make mud and put it in a man's eyes and he's going to tell him to go to this pool. No. He was just being faithful in what he was supposed to do. And hundreds of years later, Jesus is there with a blind man. And his disciples asked, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus made the statement, neither sinned. This is going to be done to bring glory to the Father. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How many is impatient? Okay, we'll pray for the rest of you later. I get impatient sometimes when I pray today and don't have the result tonight. I get impatient when we, at our church, we do outreaches like the Great Big Day Out. And we have hundreds of people come and we give and we give and we give and we give. And we don't see the fruit when we believe we ought to see the fruit. And we begin questioning, why are we doing this? They don't really care. And Satan will come in and begin playing mind games. But when you have breakthrough attitude, when you have a breakthrough attitude, you say, you know what? I'm going to do what God has called me to do today, and I may not even see the result of it in my lifetime. Shalem didn't see the result of his work when he repaired the pool of Siloam. But God had a plan. He had a plan that hundreds of years later, there was going to be a man who was blind that would be healed because the Son of God told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, the same pool that was repaired by Shalem. Think about it. We want our answers right now. God, financially, I'm bankrupt. I need it right now. God, I need a healing right now. God, I need this relationship to work out right now. Now, I'm not speaking against God doing things instantaneously. I believe God can be an instantaneous God, miracle-working God. We see it. How many's experienced an instant miracle in your life? You bet. But how many God has made you wait? He's teaching us something. And so this attitude that Shalem had is this. You know what? I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And if I see the result in my lifetime, that's wonderful. If I don't, that's fine. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. Paul puts it like this. He says, some people sow, some people water, but God is the one who gives the increase. You know, some of us, we may not see the result of what's being sown this week. We may not. We may not see what's taking place until later. In fact, we may not even see it in our lifetime. But God has a plan. He has a plan. And Shalem has this breakthrough attitude of, you know what? I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. And God used what he did hundreds of years before to display his glory to people who are looking for a Messiah through Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a world today, once again, that everything's instant. Everything's instant. Everything's instant. Everything's instant. And if we're not careful, we will begin expecting that the work we see today, we're going to see a result tonight. And sometimes we have to understand that there's seasons that we have to go through. I grew up in a farming community. We raised soybeans, rice, corn. And a farmer would go out and he would prepare the soil. After the soil was prepared, he would plant the seed. After the seed was finished, they would irrigate. After the seed began to grow, there was a season of growth and then the harvest. Some of us are just preparing the ground. We're preparing the ground. Someone else is going to plant the seed. Someone else is going to water. And someone else may have the harvest. But every single one of us did what God instructed us to do. But if we give up, if we don't have this attitude, we'll never see the breakthrough. What would happen if Shalem said, I'm not going to take care of that pool. I'll take care of the fountain gate. But I'm not going to repair that. Someone else can do that. What would have happened? Well, I'm sure someone else may have done it. But the pool wouldn't have been prepared hundreds of years later. For Jesus' sake, go wash in the pool and be healed. So have the breakthrough attitude. You know what? I am going to do what God has called me to do. If I see the results immediately, I'm going to give God glory and praise like we did as the testimonies earlier with people being cleared of cancer. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give God the glory. But if I don't see the miracle today, I'm still going to praise the Lord because I'm in His plan. His plan. His ways are higher than our way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're not even our thoughts. We only see a piece of the puzzle where God sees the big picture. And when we all come together, when we work for the glory of God and say, God, I may not see the result today, just like Shalem, but I know that you will receive glory as long as I'm faithful and do what you have called me to do. Some of you yesterday, you were face painting. Some of you are going to be helping in the city and in Finglas. And you're just going to be, you may be thinking, what is this going to do? What change is this going to make? You keep doing what God has called you to do. You keep using your gifts. You keep using your abilities. And one of these days, whether we see it or not, God is going to reveal His glory through what you've done. And it's wonderful. So have that breakthrough attitude. I'm going to do what I need to do, whether I see the results immediately or not. The second man that I looked at and that I saw that leaped out of this passage of Scripture, we find in verse 16 of Nehemiah chapter 3. And it says, beyond him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, ruler of half district of Beth Zur, made repairs up to the point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool and the house of the heroes. Nehemiah did that, but it wasn't the Nehemiah that the book was written about. Have you ever met people that have the same names? How many's met more than one John? How many, a good name. How many thankful that there's only one John? All right. This is a different Nehemiah. If you read through this, you will assume, if you're not catching it, and a lot of people assume this, they assume that beyond him, Nehemiah, and they don't realize that this is a different Nehemiah than what the book is named after. In fact, let me show you, because in verse 1, it says, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came, and it says, I questioned them about, and it continues to say, it says, that Nehemiah, now remember, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, is different than the Nehemiah that the book is written about. He said, well, big deal. Let me put it this way. How many knows, we have a common friend. His name's Gary Davidson. Gary Davidson is a good friend of mine. I'm better looking than he is. You can tell him that. He'll agree. But if you were talking to somebody and you said, you know what? I heard one of the best messages that I've ever heard, and Gary preached it. And someone went up to Gary Davidson and said, hey, I heard that you preached at Bray on, you know, just last week. And I heard they said it was wonderful. And Gary goes, I didn't preach that. That was Gary Wheat. And if I found out about that, what's my attitude? What's my attitude? Is my attitude, whoa, you're giving credit to someone else for something I did. It's a jealous attitude. It's an envy attitude. These are two different Nehemiahs. And sometimes when we're reading it, we give the credit to the wrong Nehemiah. And sometimes when we're working in God's kingdom, some people get credit. And if we're not careful, we'll step back and go, well, I'm the one that really did the work. I'm the one that really passed out the flyers for the great big day out and made it happen. I'm the one that organized this, or I'm the one that... If we're not careful, Satan will use that kind of attitude to keep us where we're at. And so I want to encourage us today not only to have the attitude of I'm going to do what I need to do, whether I see the result today or not, and I also want us to encourage us to have the attitude, the breakthrough attitude of this. I don't care who gets the credit as long as God's kingdom is advanced. That's it. It doesn't matter, because I want to encourage us and challenge us to be kingdom-minded, not my kingdom-minded. There's a lot of people, a lot of ministries that they want to build their kingdom. I want us to be people that builds His kingdom. And this is what we're seeing, this attitude. He didn't care about who got the credit. In fact, many people just assume as they read through this, it may be the same person. And many times the wrong person may get the credit for the part of the project. But as long as we don't care who gets the credit, God gets the glory. If I get envious or jealous because someone's being put up on a pedestal or someone's being praised or someone's giving the credit, then something's wrong with my attitude. God, forgive me. I never want that kind of attitude. I want God to get the glory. Kingdom-minded people don't care who gets the credit, just as long as God's work is being accomplished and His kingdom's being expanded. That's it. There's a lady that we did an appreciation banquet. And this lady, we asked some people that serve in our church, just, you know, why do you serve? Why do you serve? And we asked them to just write a short note, and we wanted to share it at the banquet. It just encourages people. And this lady is one of the most quietest people that you'll ever meet. And a lot of people don't even know everything she does, but this is, I want to share with you this morning what she wrote down. She said, when I became serious about being a believer in Christ, I took the statement, somebody needs to heart. Somebody needs to fix that. Somebody needs to change this. And somebody needs to start this or do that. I am that somebody. I may not have teaching skills, and I may not do well with public speaking, but I can be the Lord's hands and feet. I love the Lord with all my heart, and the best way for me to show this is to do things for Him. Every ministry I've ever worked in at the church, from driving vans to setting up classrooms to running spotlights to helping build churches in other countries, has been because I love Jesus, and that's the best way I know to show Him. Instead of saying somebody needs to do something, I am that somebody. That's breakthrough attitude. Not sitting back, but moving forward, knowing that, you know what, I'm going to have the breakthrough attitude that's not only going to set me free, but it's going to be an example to other people's attitudes as well, for them to have an expanding the kingdom of God. Did you know that your attitude, it's catchy? A good attitude, it's catching. I mean, if you walk in the room and you've got a positive attitude, then someone else will begin to have a positive attitude. Pretty soon, two begins to work the whole room. And you begin to feel the electricity in the air, and the atmosphere changes. But then you bring someone in, and they come in, and the lights dim about 50%. Because when they come in, they suck all the energy out. It's contagious. Bad attitudes are contagious, but great attitudes are contagious as well. When you begin to look at what God's done in your life, a lot depends on your attitude. Whether you've been set free from addiction, whether your relationships have been restored, it's dependent on the attitude. We can have a I can't make it attitude. Everything I do, no one looks at, no one cares about. Or I can say, you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to restore this relationship through His power, through His glory. I'm going to get off of addictions. It's not by what I do. It's by what He does. It's the attitude. It's the attitude that makes a difference, because God's already made the plan. He's already given the path for us to walk, but it's the attitude in our journey. In fact, this morning as I was looking at this, I was going, Lord, I want to share, but here's some breakthrough thoughts. How many wants to have a breakthrough attitude? a breakthrough attitude. These are some breakthrough thoughts I felt like God just gave me. I was typing them on this. And it says, these are breakthrough attitudes. I am a nobody. Change that from I am a nobody to you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You see the difference? When Satan comes and brings that attitude of everyone is against me, then we return that and we have the attitude of if God is for me, who can be against me? When I have an attitude of jealousy and discord, then change that attitude to how good it is when brothers live together in unity. When I have the attitude of hatred and bitterness toward those who have done wrong things towards me, then have the attitude. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. It's a totally different attitude. When you have this attitude of, I can't do anything. When you have this attitude of all of our inabilities and struggles and things that I'm not good at. Have the attitude and turn it to, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When I have the attitude of, I don't have enough faith. I don't have the faith that Pastor has. I don't have the faith that John has. I don't have the faith that the Americans have. What you have to change that attitude is this. Jesus only said, I need a mustard seed of faith to move a mountain. Change the attitude when I have a lack of resources. Instead of saying, I'm broke, I don't know what I'm going to do. Change that attitude and say, you know what? I may not have any money. I may not have the resources, but God's name is Jehovah Jireh, and He is my provider and not man. You got to change the attitude. When you lack confidence in your calling, change the attitude. Take on the attitude that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. You stir it up. It's the attitude. When you have the, you know, this is impossible attitude. I remember in 2005, this building, the way it was, some people probably came in and looked at it and said, this is impossible. This is crazy. How are we going to do this? But there was a group of people, they weren't saying, this is impossible. They were saying, you know what? All things are possible. God's given us a vision. He's given us a purpose. We're going to do what we need to do today. We don't care who gets the credit so God can get the glory in 2014. All things are possible. So what kind of attitude do we want? I want a breakthrough attitude. I want a breakthrough attitude. I'm going to do what God has called me to do today. And I don't care who gets the credit, but I'm going to change the attitude. If you'll notice, this isn't just positive thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, when you have a cold and you're sneezing and your nose is, you've got tissue and you've got a blow, and you're, I don't have a cold. I don't have a cold. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You have a cold. And everybody knows it. That's not what I'm talking about. If you'll notice, we combat the bad attitude with the Word of God. David said, I meditate upon your Word day and night. I've hidden your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. That's how you change the attitude. I'm nobody. God says you're somebody. I can't do this. God says with me you can do anything. I don't have purpose. God said before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I've got plans for you to succeed and prosper. Every negative attitude you can combat with the Word of God. Have a breakthrough attitude. So Father, that's our desire. Give us a breakthrough attitude. Father, these two men that we just briefly looked at this morning, Lord, they had a breakthrough attitude. Shalem had the attitude of, I'm going to take care of this gate and I'm going to take care of this pool. I may not see the result today, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And hundreds of years later, that same pool was used to open up the blind man's eyes. And Jesus used it. Lord, Nehemiah, he, same name as the great Nehemiah, the visionary, the leader, but he didn't care who got the credit. He just wanted the wall to be built, God's plan to be fulfilled. So, Lord, I pray for attitudes here today. Father, we're in the 21st century, we're in 2014, and we still battle attitudes. Let us have that breakthrough attitude. Let us soak in your Word. Father, I come against the negative oppression that seeps into our lives. We get so busy, as we heard in the leadership meeting this morning. We get so busy, and sometimes that's Satan's greatest weapons for us as believers. And because of our busyness, because of our schedules, because of the stress, because of things that are going on in our life, we begin to have a bad attitude. But we want to break through that and have a breakthrough attitude in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask the praise team if they would come. And I just want to pray with you today. You see, attitude can switch just like that. There are people that you know that they've had great attitudes. They've been in church. They've given their heart to the Lord. And because of circumstances, situations, they're no longer walking with the Lord. They've turned their back on God. But the good news is God hasn't turned their back on them. And maybe this morning you're here and maybe Satan has used, and it's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you've turned your back on God. It's just that you feel lukewarm. You feel lukewarm. During praise and worship, when and then people started sharing their testimony, you were happy for them. But there's a little bit of feeling of, God, I want that. I want that. And it all begins with surrendering, saying, God, here is my all, my attitude, my mind, my heart. Because I believe that there are some people, and I hope this makes sense, I believe that some people give Jesus their heart, but they don't give him their mind. With all of my heart, with all of my mind, I give it to you, Lord.